we, the Jivatma, intrinsically, intrinsically means inherently, and eternally separated parts and parcel of the Supreme. We are the spiritual entities, just of, except the quality-wise, constitutively, we are same, okay? But not the quantity-wise. Now, Maya subjugates or Maya controls us only the Jivatma. This is the big difference now from Mayavadi philosophy. We say the Vaishnavas, Jiva Goswami says, the Vaishnava philosophy, the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, he says, the person of the Supreme, not the Supreme Lord, the Ishvara. Ishvara never comes under the conditions of the Maya. In fact, Ishvara controls Maya. You know, Maya is a servant of Ishvara that we are going to hear minutes. All right? Okay. Hope everybody is with me. So if we are everyone with me, then let's go ahead. So Maya controls only the Jivas, not the Ishvara. All right? Not Brahman or Ishvara, let alone her overcoming Bhagavan. So what to speak about Bhagavan realization? Bhagavan Shri Krishna, the Supreme Person, you know, the Absolute Truth has three levels of realization. Brahman is the lowest, lowermost realization. Intermediate is the localized Paramatma in everyone's heart. And the final complete realization is Bhagavan. So Bhagavan already has Brahman realization. Paramatma is only Brahman and Paramatma. Brahman is only Brahman realization, all right? So that's a big difference right here that you hear now, all right? That differs from the Mayavadis. And this is exactly what Srila Vyasadeva saw in his samadhi, you know, that we are eternally in a distinct from the Supreme, that he saw Krishna there. And we suffering, we become bewildered by Maya's potency, Maya potency that he so actually saw in his samadhi, whereas Maya could not come even in front of Krishna. Vilajya Maya, that later on we are going to hear that term. So he also saw the God himself is not directly involved in deluding the Jivatma. So this bewilderment is done by Maya, and the Supreme has nothing to do with that. So this is where the famous question comes into play. Why, if God is so all-powerful and all-compassionate, all-merciful, why does he allow so much injustice and suffering and miseries caused here in this material world? You know, why does he allow Maya? Maya is, as we are saying, that Maya is under his control. So why does he not control Maya in that? You know, why would he let him? It's just like we are the parents and our kids, somebody else gives difficulty, obviously we get mad, right? We will protect our children. Nonetheless, when we put our kid in the school, high school, elementary school, kindergarten, teacher is going to control and show it the discipline. And parents don't object that, you know, because they know it is meant for good for his child, you know. The same way here, the Krishna also given the responsibility to Maya to discipline us, the living entities, you know. So that's why he does not interfere there. So, and we are going to see how Krishna is not indifferent either that way, you know. He has his own way of rectifying us also. So there are two ways, through his Maya in a negative way, and in a positive way, he himself descends the material world, and he gives Vedic literature. Also, he sends his own advanced devotees for us to become enlightened and coming back to the world. In fact, he enacts sweet pastimes. So we become, first we come to material mode of goodness, then Shuddha mode of goodness, and then we become qualified to go back to spiritual world. So Krishna is really, indeed, he is very merciful. He teaches us. So he disciplines, yes, that's right. It's for our own good. But at the same time, he wants us to go back to spiritual world. He does not want to suffer in this material world. Material world is designed for suffering. In fact, that's a training wheel for us, so that we act on our, because we have this, we become rebellious from Krishna, and we want to enjoy independent of Krishna. That's why we are in the material world, you know. So he gives full facility for us to enjoy, all right? But then the point will come in our life, and then realize that this is not the happiness that we are looking for. This is not a lasting happiness. This is a temporary flickering happiness. The real happiness is not here. Material world is designed, never has any real happiness here. You know? We have to go back to spiritual world. So this is what dawns us, and then he creates, arranges situation in our life to become free. Then he lets us hear his sweet pastime, Srimad Bhagavatam, and we come to the mode of goodness, and then we become qualified to go back to spiritual world. You know? Okay, let's move on to the next one. PowerPoint number 7, please. So now, Jiva Goswami studies Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 5, this great famous verse. Okay. Yaya sammohita jiva atmanam shritam paro api manyate nartam ta kritam abhipadyate. So here, the word sammohita, that means becomes deluded, comes under the illusion. And manyate means he thinks. So when we become delusioned, our knowledge becomes covered by Maya. And then we misidentify ourselves with this material body. We think this is what we are. And that is what Jivatma thinks that. And then as a result, we experience material miseries and repeated birth and death and all these things, you know, the ill effects of that. And ignorance and misery takes over. So Maya covers our knowledge of Krishna because we want to enjoy independent of Krishna, and that is not possible. The only way it is possible if we forget Krishna. So Maya help us to do that. So Maya is doing a screening role, actually, you know. So, and that is not the part of our constitutive nature. Constitutively, we are meant to serve the Supreme. But when we develop, we become rebellious because of a strong drive for material enjoyment, and that is not possible in the absence of Krishna. And in fact, Krishna in that Chatushtaka Bhagavatam verse says that there is no place that I am not there. Even to imagine I am not there, it is illusion. So person when becomes deluded, and then Krishna let him forget, and then he comes under the vicious cycle of material existence. You know, misidentify ourselves with this. Even though, let's talk about the devotees. When we are practicing devotee, when still have material desires, we tend, even though we know we are not this body, we again act as if we are this body, you know. So that realization, theoretically we know, but so jnanam we know, but vijnanam is not there. Realization is not there. And that is the only way why we think we are suffering, actually, you know. So Maya cannot tolerate. Why does Maya do that, first of all? So that also Jiva Goswami explains. Because Maya, she's a devotee. In fact, Maya is not just the energy of the Lord, actually. You know, it's Jiva Goswami explained. Maya is a person. She is a presiding deity controlling that particular function. All right. So she is Durga Devi. She is the superintendent of the material world. She controls the material world for Krishna. Krishna has assigned that role to her, actually. You know, so she... being herself a devotee, she cannot tolerate our rebellious nature. We want to turn our face away from Krishna. Vimukhya, this is one of the words, it's turning away. So then Krishna arranges, we come into the jurisdiction of Maya, and then Maya takes us away from Krishna, actually. So she does not like that we do not serve the Lord, actually. And so she covers our knowledge, our remembrance of Krishna. All right? So then we become enticed this material enjoyment, and we, as a result, we suffer because there is no real enjoyment there. Real happiness is not there. So she keeps us repeatedly, repeated birth, death, and so on like that. And through our weapons of three modes of material nature. So the primordial nature, our constitutive nature, and the dharma are manifested and unmanifested in cycles of birth and death. That is anadi. Anadi means that which is without any beginning, from time immemorial. When it happened, there's no answer to that. No. In fact, one cycle of creation, maintenance, dissolution is not. So when we did not become, purified, realization enough that this is enough, enough is enough, and we turn to Krishna, if that thing doesn't happen in this cycle of creation, this cycle of creation, maintenance, and so on like that, then we, at the time of dissolution, we go back body of Mahavishnu, Karnadaksha Vishnu, and in the next comes, we are again injected back with the time potency and the super soul. Krishna always edits a super soul when we are in material world. So we are put in the next cycle again and go through again that vicious cycle. It keeps on repeating until the time comes when we become super saturated, and when then we show propensity, a certain desire, certain inclination to know about bhakti, then that's the beginning of our liberation process. So this is called anadi. You know? So both this material nature and jivana both are eternal, just as the Supreme. He is going to talk more details in Paramatma Sandarbha about this. Okay, moving on further. PowerPoint number 8, please. So that is the summary of text 32, text 33. So here, what is 33? This is the jivatma. So now we already heard what is our relationship, us related to the Supreme, and what is the relationship between Maya and us, and Maya and Supreme. So now Jivatma and Paramatma have different relationship with Bhagavan's paradoxical potency, Maya. Very kind of different. Maya controls us, whereas Maya being controlled by the Supreme. That's a big difference. So there's a fundamental difference between us and the Supreme. So Jivatma and Paramatma, there is a fundamental difference. That is not what the Mayavadi philosophy says. Mayavadi says that both us and the Supreme, what they call Brahman, both are Brahman. But one Brahman, under the influence of this upadhi of three modes of material nature, and when we become liberated, when we become Ishvara, when we come into the mode of goodness, that's what they're saying. So here it is not possible, because what Vyasa saw in his trance, he saw very clear differences in terms of how Maya controls the jivas, but Maya herself being controlled by the Supreme. So there is a fundamental difference between us and the Supreme. In fact, Maya is a very dear to and devotee of the Lord, despite the fact that she deludes us. Moreover, she is a person, not an energy. She is the presiding deity of Krishna's external energy, all right? Durga Devi. So here again, the same question. If the Lord is so powerful and unlimitedly merciful, why does he not interfere? Why does he not intervene, why does he allow her to place obstacles and repeatedly present various allurements on the path of jiva? Even a practicing devotee, he has already developed desire to turn to Krishna, and still sometimes Maya takes him away, because he still has this residual desires, to enjoy, So that is not possible, So we have an interest separate from Krishna. That Bhagavad Gita also talks about that. So in this way, Maya baffles. She actually disappoints us in all of our attempt, to go towards Krishna. So in answering these doubts, Jiva Goswami cites this verse, 3:25:25, third canto, 25th chapter, 25th verse. This is Kapil Dev says actually, where this verse says, which explains that devotees of the Lord associate favorably with one another and always relish speaking about the Lord's pastime. So when we develop interest, we always talk about Krishna only among the devotees. Bodhiyanti cha parasparam, Krishna himself is in Bhagavad Gita, And we always associate, we like to associate with other devotees. And we talk about nothing else but Krishna. So that is the nature, the quality, the explanation, the description of a Krishna's devotee. That is what given in this verse actually. And we always talk about and enjoy and relish Krishna's sweet pastimes, which are tonic for the hearts and the ears of sick and weak. Just like when we are sick, when we become too weak, then doctor prescribes a tonic, vitamins and so on like that. So there's the tonic immunizes them back to the healthy condition of life, while establishing them in the constitutional cognitive of service to Bhagavan. So this is what happens when we associate with senior Vaishnavas. We become inspired by them. On our own, we don't do that. But when we see other devotees are doing, and then we begin to experience the enjoyment, the real enjoyment, unlike in material pursuit, then we more and more cooperatively move forward in the devotional helping us in that way, So this is all Krishna's arrangement. Then slowly but surely, Maya's influence wanes. Because that's what exactly Maya also herself also, her own intention is that exactly, to bring us back to Krishna after purifying us. Okay? Powerpoint number 9, please. So the real purpose of Maya, what is the real purpose of Maya? This is again all this Vaishnava philosophy. And that is what, it's not philosophy anymore. Srila Vyasa actually saw all this thing in his samadhi. The real purpose of Maya. So Krishna has not employed her just to inflict miseries in the jivas. That's the first important thing that we must learn that. Because people ask that question, I told you that people are wondering why the all merciful, all powerful Supreme is allowing for us to suffer in material world because of this Maya, So that's not the intention of the Lord, And that's not also the intention of Maya herself also. Maya is simply facilitating what Lord has given her explicit orders, exactly what to do, So she means chastise and then encourage us returning back to Bhagavan. So the punishment she meets out serves three purposes. Okay, please listen carefully. To give them reactions for its deeds. So, when we do something bad and we suffer because of that, then we realize something we've done bad, Unless that happens, we don't realize that, So you see, when a finger cuts, and the pain transmits to our brains, and we be careful next time. But if the pain doesn't go to the brain, then we are not going to realize that. And then we hurt more, even might cut off the finger might happen, and we won't realize it. So Maya particularly does this suffering to realize us that we have done something wrong, and then we don't do it again. If we provide these three examples, those who are intelligent, super intelligent, they simply hear from others, read about it, and they don't do it. The middle class, intermediate class, they hear, but they want to experience themselves. They don't believe that. So unless they experience themselves suffering, they don't, do this thing. So they purposely do that just to experience. That is our independence. We want to learn ourselves. And the third, the least intelligent person, even after hearing, even after experiencing repeatedly, they keep on doing the same thing. Most of us in the third category, actually. So that's why Krishna does this. So Prabhupada's little son happened once in a kept insisting to play around the moving fan, actually. You know? So Prabhupada, you know, what he did, he turned down the speed of the fan and let the child touch. So when the child touched the fan, immediately recoils back, and he realized that is something not to be done, you know. So this is what Prabhupada gave this example to show us. This is what for many of us like that, you know. So that is this number one. Number two, to deter them from further transgressions. By giving pain, we become sensitized and we don't do it again, you know. And the third way, to impel them to, so then we find ways how to avoid such suffering, not to do it that, you know. So this is three ways Maya is disciplining us to teach us that. So she is playing the role of a teacher, teaching discipline to a person's child, you know. So that person, the parents, willingly let their child become disciplined by a teacher, and they don't interfere that. The same way Krishna also does the same thing, you know. But Lord is never indifferent. Now we'll see how. So Lord's only purpose is to rehabilitate the jivas in a way so that they gain liberation from Maya's clutches. Lord himself warned us. So just like parents eventually want the child come out of the clutches of the teacher, you know, comes with learning, and then, you know, gets back and they provide all the love and affection, you know. So here the same thing. Krishna always desires, wants us to become disciplined, rehabilitated, so that we can become liberated eventually from Maya's influence. So he generally does not choose to come between Jiva and Maya. So Lord never interferes with the rules and regulations of Prakriti, because the rules don't make that for a particular reason, you know. So he does not interfere that. So misery is the very nature of a material existence. This material world is designed to give these difficulties. It's like a training wheel, you know. So, however, it is not indifferent. So Lord is not indifferent, though. He knows that. And what does he do that? So there are two ways he does. In a negative way, being punished by Maya, he teaches the discipline. And the other way, now he himself descends in the material world, in different incarnations, and enacts those sweet pastimes. And also, turn off your microphone, please. Someone's microphone is on, please. Haribo. And other way, he provides this Vedic literature. That's why the Anathopam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Madhokshraje Lokasya Janato Vidvam Chakra Satvata Samhitam. You know, that is the reason this learned person, Srila Vyasadeva, composed that. Somebody's microphone is on, please.
So he's probably on Sanjay
Prabhu's microphone is on. Sanjay Prabhu.
Prabhu, I have a statement.
So he frequently descends in material world to reclaim back his this living entities by enacting sweet pastimes. Simply hearing the sweet pastime, we become a mode of goodness. And sometimes he appears as Vyasa to give his Vedic literature, so knowledge about bhakti, you know. And sometimes he sends his own personal associates to guide us, you know. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place, he in fact came himself as a devotee of the Lord to teach us practice devotional service, you know. So this is why he is really very, very merciful. And sometimes he comes just in the pretext of for the benefit of his intimate associates like Arjuna. So Bhagavad Gita, the great knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was given like that. Next PowerPoint, probably. PowerPoint number 10, please. So if once someone takes advantage of the Lord's arrangement for spiritual enlightenment and comes to the point of transcendental realization, he then need not fear any further suffering for his previous misdeeds, you know. In fact, you saw that yesterday's class on this wonderful pastimes of Gajendra Moksha. He in the previous lifetime he was a devotee, but some little misdeed he did, and he had to come back just to become purified. But he wrote, never let him forget that. Even in the animal species, he was there. He remembered bhakti process, so he knew that the bhakti, how to do that, and that's why he could offer this wonderful prayers. So this is what Lord. Svalpam asti dharmasya trayate mahato bhaya. Even the little bit you've done on the bhakti front, it always protects us from the greatest fear. Greatest fear is what? Coming back to the material world, So Lord protects us that. So we begin from the process, from the point where we left off from previous life, until we become perfect and go back to spiritual world. So these sufferings are meant for awakening them to the knowledge that will lead them to freedom from suffering and eternal life in the spiritual world. Now, what happened if the punishment is inflicted on the jiva is for their ultimate guru? Why are they also allowed to enjoy this world? Now, that is a doubt one might justifiably raise, that if punishment is always there for our own ultimate good, then why he's allowing us to even enjoy this material? Because as long as we enjoy the material world, we never get the incentive to go back to spiritual world, So why does he do that? So because if there's a misery all the time, relentless misery, then we become sensitized. Then we become used to it. Then we don't realize that, So that is a drawback. So any jiva, even in a rudimentary transcendental insight, will realize there is no real happiness in this material world. So that enjoyment is there to reinforce in them the happiness that he's getting is also flickering. Any moment is going to be taken away, So without such knowledge, misery alone is insufficient to awaken the person to reality. Next PowerPoint. PowerPoint number 11, please. So see, that's why Krishna gives both difficulties and good. And devotees know that. And they are, regardless if it is difficulties are there or they remain indifferent to that. And they continue their process because they know that Lord is going to take away whatever the misdeeds we did that previously, that the reaction, adverse reaction is going to pass away. Instead of great suffering, with little suffering, that's gone, So in conclusion, sum up, the Lord has designed in two-part program. Punishment by his maya in a negative way, named Durga Devi. And then also rehabilitating in a positive way. He himself comes, he provides instructions, and he sends his own representatives, and so on like that, So there's two ways. Both processes complement each other, actually. Perfect way. So text 34, please, now. So maya bewilders jiva, but is controlled by the Supreme. And jiva is conscious and distinct from Ishvara. So now we already saw how maya controls the jivas. But maya herself is actually controlled by the Supreme. That we are going to see in this verse. So again, 174, please. So the words used to describe maya's relationship on atat apashraya. See that verse again. Let me repeat that. Here it says that. Yeah. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihite amale apashyat purusham purnam. Again, see the word purusham purnam come into here. Raman Krishna Prabhu. That is the 174. Mayam chattad apashram. So here, tad apashram means maya knowing very well that she is preventing Krishna's devotee to come to him. So she feels very guilty about it, and that's why she feels kind of vilajyamanam. Vilajyamani means she is so much ashamed to come even in front of Krishna. So what Srila Vyasadeva saw, that Maya, he saw Maya, but Maya was in the background, out of the sight of the Lord actually. In front of the Lord, she did not even appear. You know? So that's what Vyasa saw that. So Tad Apashreya means that she is ashamed of her role. It's like a director giving an actor a role of a villain, you know. He's just acting out the particular role he's been given that, you know. So Bhagavan supports Maya, that she has no influence over him, you know. Maya is separate from the Lord in the sense that she does not belong to the category of his internal potency. In fact, Maya cannot act when Krishna's internal potency acts. So when we show a particular inclination towards bhakti, then immediately Krishna's internal potency takes charge of us. Anytime we show seriousness of that, of course we have to be serious and sincere about it, then immediately Krishna's Swarupa Shakti takes control of that. Esam Shatata Yuktanam Bhajatam Pritipurakam Dadami Buddhi Yogantam Yena Mama Upayantite. By Satatam, always engage in devotional service with great love and affection, then Krishna himself enters in his heart, not as a super soul. Super soul is always there, but Krishna himself comes there in his heart and provides intimate transcendental knowledge about him, who Krishna really is. You know, another, you know, that there's a verse actually there, in fact, which says that verse doesn't come to my mind right away. What it means that when we are accustomed, our material senses are accustomed enjoying materially, then they do not realize who Krishna is, you know. But when the same senses, the example is given like when the tongue is tasting Krishna Prasadam or chanting the Lord's holy name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, then immediately realize who Krishna really is, you know. That's the potency of that. So Vyasa saw that Bhagavan supports Maya and that she has no influence over him. Maya is separate from Lord in the sense that she does not belong to the category of internal potency. So when there's internal potency acting, that Maya simply withdraws, you know. Swarup Shakti. Swarup Shakti takes over. Both Sandini Shakti, Samavit Shakti and Aladdin Shakti takes over. In fact, Krishna says himself that the Mahajanas are under the protection of his internal potency, whereas those who are materially enjoyment, then they are given in this Maya's jurisdiction. So Maya is ashamed, vilajya manaya, to appear in front of the Lord, 2:5:3 actually, indicates that she is inferior both to him and his internal potency. She cannot influence him and is fully subordinate to him. So that's a fundamental difference, you know, between us and the Supreme in relation to the Maya, you know. So analogy is given, she's compared to maid servant who works outside the inner chamber of the king with his principal consort. Where king is enjoying his principal consort, the dasis, the servants, they always remain outside the door, you know. So Maya, however, bewilders the jiva when he's not united with the Lord in bhakti yoga. As the word yoga samhita indicates, yaya sammohita, that verse. So being part and parcel of the Lord, the jiva is conscious by nature, and yet he is not all-powerful like God, for his potencies are limited, because we are just part and parcel, you know. So we are conscious, you know. And now the consciousness is also two-part, actually. So we are conscious about our surroundings, and we are conscious about ourselves also. We have an inherent capacity to learn, to become enlightened, of transcendental knowledge. Just an example is given, like a light bulb. Light bulb illuminates all surrounding. At the same time, it also illuminates the self also, you know. It's the same as, so we have this capacity to learn ourselves, to become aware of our true constitutive position, true spiritual position, you know. We have that there, you know. And that consciousness helps us to come back. So, commenting on this 174, Baladev Vidyabhushan points out that besides witnessing the self-revelation of both Bhagavan, Maya, and Jiva, Vyasa also saw this Kala, the time potency also. All these four are eternal, except karma. Karma is the one which is the only not eternal. And all these five subject matters are discussed in Bhagavad Gita also, actually. Okay. Purport number 13. So now text 35. So what are the essential distinction? What is the essential distinction between the Jiva and Ishvara? We already learned in terms of the Maya, okay? So upon further analysis of Vyasa's supercognitive samadhi, Jiva presents arguments opposing Mayavadi theory of the absolute oneness of the Jiva and Paramatma, because we just learned it, that Mayavadis think that there is no in Jiva and Ishvara. It's both are Brahman, nothing else. Either Brahman is in the context of Maya or not. That's the only difference, you know. So when Maya is in the mode of goodness, when Upadhi is in the mode of goodness, then Jiva becomes Ishvara or the liberated stage. That's what they're saying that. Of course, this is absurd that just Jiva Goswami has proved that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sternly warned those who aspire to know Bhagavan in truth, they should be very careful. Never hear Mayavadi philosophy. Mayavadi bhashan sunile sarva nasha hoye. So Mayavadi doctrine is based on Shruti Shastra. They claim that there is based on Shruti Shastra, you know, Upanishads primarily, Veda and so on like that. But their interpretation is wrong. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out to the Mayavadi sannyasis, they always talk about Vedanta, but their interpretation of Vedanta is completely a platform, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out to them, you know. So, they claim, Mayavadis, that ultimate reality is radically non-dual pure consciousness alone, without form or attributes. Furthermore, Maya cannot be defined by either existing or non-existing. They have a difficulty there showing that. So according to them, there are two aspects of Maya. There's a Vidya and Avidya potency of Maya. So when Brahman is in the Avidya, then it becomes Jivatma, conditioned soul. When the Upadhi is in the Maya, the Vidya, in the knowledge, then becomes Ishvara or become liberated. That's the only difference they say. Take 14, please. So in this way, the difference between the Jiva and Ishvara is in the terms of the Upadhis. That's the only difference they are saying now. Or the apparent limitations superimposed Brahman by Maya's Vidya and Avidya potencies. When the Jiva acquires spiritual knowledge, thus removes those Upadhis from himself, he attains realization of the unlimited and undifferentiated Brahman. So they give the analogy of sky and clay pots. See, you have a vast, unlimited sky, all right? But when you look the reflection of the sky in a small earthen pot, you see the sky right there also. Actually, you don't see the sky. You see the luminaries within the sky. That's what you see. The sky is a space. Space cannot that, you know. So that's what they see. So that their analogy is wrong, actually. So that's what they're saying, that just as the vast sky gets limited in a part, the unlimited Brahman seems to become limited by the Jiva's gross material and subtle bodies. So how Jiva Goswami refutes these kind of absurd notions? So he begins by establishing the essential distinction between the Jiva and Ishvara. The first point being, that is in Vyasa's Samadhi, Maya controls only the Jiva and not the Ishvara. That's a fundamental difference. That's how it refutes that. The last PowerPoint, please. So there are intrinsic differences between the Jiva and Ishvara. The Jiva's abilities and qualities are different from those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Completely opposite to what Mayavadi says. Mayavadis don't make distinction. They don't say that this is super soul-like thing is there. No. It's just all everything. And Brahman, if it's conditioned, then becomes Jiva. And Brahman becomes liberated, becomes Ishvara only when free from this most by the acquirement of knowledge. But here, Srila Vyasadeva is so in his samadhi that there are distinct differences between Jiva and Ishvara. They're qualitatively, their abilities and qualities are completely different from those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this difference, moreover, is not a product of illusion. It's a reality. So by constitution, the Jiva is atomic in size and thus vulnerable to Maya's bewildering. But just I told you that the Jiva, the marginal potency oscillates between internal potency and external potency because of its minute size, you know. So Maya takes over when he disassociate from the Lord. By surrendering to Bhagavan in devotional service, he can become free himself from the shackles of Maya. So Vyasa saw all these things. He saw the suffering living entities by Maya's influence, and he also saw the remedy. By devotional service, they become free. All these things were seen by Vyasa, and that's what Jiva Goswami points out that in his analysis of his samadhi. So we are just touching this, just scratching the surface. We are going to deeper and deeper as we go along. Hari Bol, and stop here. Thank you. I think we may have a question for a few. Makarant was saying that why do say wrong to me? That is preliminary. I don't know. Mayavadi, okay. Why to say wrong? Can you say what said that is?
Prabhuji, I mean to ask is that when we say Mayavadi, why do we have to say Mayavadis are wrong? Is it a correct address to say that understanding is preliminary? Because it is only understanding of impersonal Brahman. Because the Paramatma and Bhagavan realizations are still not arrived. It is still preliminary rather than wrong. If we say this way, is it correct?
I'm sorry if we are deferred, because here Jiva Goswami has completely pointed out what's absurd about Mayavadi philosophy. What they are saying, that there is no difference between Jiva and Ishvara. It's all Brahman. And what they are saying in a sense, that when Krishna comes in the material world, they also becomes conditioned. So that is their fault. That's where they are wrong, you know. Ishvara never comes under the influence of the modes. Ishvara controls the Maya. That's the fundamental difference, you know. It's only the Jivas come under the control of the Maya, you know. That's the one big difference is right there. That's why it's not preliminary Brahman realization, but it is completely wrong on that. Brahmavadis, you're right. When you're talking about just Brahmavadi accept, just like Srila Sukadeva Goswami, when he was in Brahman realization, he was not Mayavadi. He was actually an impersonalist Brahman realization because he accepted Krishna. Remember when Krishna had to come there and assure him that he would not be exposed to Maya, that means he accepted Krishna as the supreme in the sense that Krishna controls Maya. When Krishna gives that kind of assurance, then only came out. So he accepted that. But he thought at that point that Krishna's, the Brahman is a supreme. Bhagavan, he did not have that idea about that until after he heard the Bhagavatam verses, you know. So that's what, it's not preliminary. So preliminary knowledge, that's what you're saying, is correct with respect to Brahmavadis, but not the Mayavadis. There's a Mayavadi commits a great offense towards Krishna when they think Krishna, and so everybody can become Krishna, they are saying actually. And that's why they address us, Om Namo Narayana, you know. They address themselves as Narayana. So that is the wrong part of that thing. I hope you understood, Bhakaran Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji, now it is clear. My confusion was with Brahmavadi and Mayavadi. That's correct.
Yes. Raman Krishna Prabhu, Brahmavadis are preliminary, Mayavadis are real. Raman Krishna Prabhu also agrees with me. Thank you, Prabhuji. Atul Prabhu, Maya Punishing Agency, what should be our strategy? Our study is always very clear. We take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet in devotional service. Then Krishna protects us from Maya, you know. As Krishna says, you know, that this Maya, this is a divine energy of mind, you know. And those who take my shelter, on our own, it's very difficult, dvottaya, you know. But if we take his shelter, mam cho yo prapadyante, mayam etan tarantite, then they immediately transcend. So that is ought to be our strategy. Sachdev Prabhu, Hare Krishna, very nice class. As you said last time, is getting excited and it's also deeper. Some darts being connected now. Yes, Prabhuji, we are just getting into it now. And it's going to become really, really exciting, actually, as we go further and further. More and more really deeper aspect. And then we also will learn that these are not just theoretical. We can actually see in our day-to-day life, and we can see its application. That is what my purpose is, to point out that to you, you know. So all this, when I was telling you that this suffering that we have, even devotees have to suffer, because as long as we have this material body, suffering is the part of this material existence, you know. But devotees' understanding of suffering is quite different than the non-devotees, you know. Raman Krishna Prabhu, is there a third paribhasika satta? I know we are going to discuss the whole class on that. Maybe we'll see. I don't know at this point, actually. But we'll see that, Raman Krishna Prabhu, if you can just hold on to that. Thank you. Thank you, Prabhuji. Raman Krishna Prabhu, I really, really admire, you know. He is bringing some really, really interesting points, and that makes us to really challenge us to study even much deeper, you know. That's what I really appreciate about his asking questions. And I wish many of you actually follow that example that he's providing us. He's inspiring all of us to seriously study this sandarbhas. Because only when you seriously study, you will come up with questions. Okay, so if there are no further questions, I'm going to request Dishana to conclude the class with Narasimha prayer. And thank you all of you, everyone, for your attention and wonderful, wonderful association. You know, Hari Bol. Dishana Beda, are you ready now? Hare Krishna.
Namaste Narasimhaya, Namaste Narasimhaya, Praladaladaine, Praladaladaine, Hiranyakashipurvaksaha, Hiranyakashipurvaksaha, Silatanka nakalaye, Silatanka nakalaye, Ito Narsimha Pareto Narsimho, Ito Narsimha Pareto Narsimho, Yato yato yami tato Narsimha, Yato yato yami tato Narsimha, Bahir Narsimho hridaye Narsimho, Bahir Narsimho hridaye Narsimho, Narsimhamadim saranam prapade, Narsimhamadim saranam prapade, Tavakara kamala pari nakam adbuddha sringam, Dalita Hiranyakasipu Tanubringam Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Nitai Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Nitai Gaur Hari Bol Jaya Jaya Prabhupad 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad Jaya Jaya Gurudev 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev All glories to the devotees Hare Krishna
Thank you very much Dishana Thank you so much Thank you all of you also All glory to Shri Prabhupada All glory to Shri Sakshandarbha All glory to Shri Jiva Goswami All glories to all the assembled devotees Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada. So I look forward to seeing you all next week. Hari Bol, I wish you all the wonderful Krishna Consciousness Week ahead. Hare Krishna.